El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Phil, and welcome back. Brand new hour and a brand new day here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show each and every night, not only on the air, on the internet, online, and ready, willing, and able, man, with whatever it is you need. Whatever you need, we got. I'll never forget the guy saying that to me as I went into, it was a sports exchange down here on, I think it was down on Melrose in Hollywood years ago. I went in with a friend of mine. It was the, I'll never forget the name of it, Acme Sports Exchange.
Yeah, you tell me about that guy who kept his filing cabinet on a sports jacket or something.
That's exactly what he did. This little guy walks up, and a buddy of mine is in the horse racing business. He's a trainer. He trains thoroughbred horses. And he said to me, I got to go find a digest, a thoroughbred digest. This is a big book, or maybe it's called the yearbook or something, but it has in it the names of every great horse and the trainers from any given year, and he needed this book for some reason. So we go down, and he found out about this thing called the Acme Sports Exchange. That was the name of it. It was down on Melrose. It was down on one of these streets in Hollywood. And I walk into this place, and the guy says, I'll never forget it. What do you guys need? Whatever you need, whatever you want. I got what you need. I got what you want. And, you know, my friend Ray says, well, what I want is this, it's 1958, it's the thoroughbred. Okay, now hold on for a minute. I got what you need, I got what you want. And he pulls out of his pocket every scrap of paper, toilet paper, napkin, whatever he wrote notes on, that's what this guy's filing cabinet was. This was his reference, this was his Rolodex. Now, this is the 70s, so they didn't have computers, but for God's sake, you know, they did have filing cabinets, but this cat... He's pulling out. No, wait a minute. Hold on. You ever seen guys who do that, you know?
Yeah, sometimes.
This guy's like, hold on. I got it. You know, he's pulling out this paper. And Ray is increasingly, I got to get out of here, man. I got to get some air, man. But I never forgot that phrase, I've got what you need, I got what you want, because I thought I'd use it someday somehow. And, well, the last time I used it, I got my face slapped. So.
What does that mean, teen feces?
What do you mean, teen feces?
What are you looking at? Right over there.
It's a tease from Jason. It says, a teen faces.
Oh.
Suspension over his rosary beads. 877-876-PHIL. Yes, indeed, a teen does face suspension over his rosary beads. And you want to know why? Probably because they think it's some weird-ass cult, and they're not too far off. I'm kidding. I'm joking, man. Don't climb up on your high and mighty with me, okay? I was raised a Catholic, Fada, and I know how rough life can be for our Catholics. Which ain't all that rough, but well, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, some kid got suspended over his rosary beads. Now, what is this story about? You know, it's got a lot to do with the freedom of religion. And the freedom to be a weird ass and, you know, a lot of stuff. No, it's not being weird, but it is the freedom to pray and to do the thing that you want to do, however strange. One of the things, you know, growing up Catholic, you know, I know that there are people that have a problem with Catholicism and they don't have a problem telling you about it either. And I have to remind them, I'll say, you know, look, I know you don't dig Catholicism, but you're not Catholic and you're talking to one. So watch your face. Well, what do you mean? Because they assume that you don't dig it either. Well, maybe I don't. But I don't need some Baptist walking up to me and giving me their opinion about it, because frankly, I don't give a damn. Let me tell you about Catholicism. No, you ain't going to tell me nothing. Move on. Shove off. If I want somebody to bag on Catholicism, I'll go find a nun or a priest. Anyway, teen faces suspension over rosary beads. In Haverstraw, New York, the parents of a high school student from Rockland County are demanding answers that their ninth grader was suspended for wearing rosary beads. Well, you're not supposed to wear rosary beads, you dork. That's number one. He was suspended even though the school doesn't even have a policy banning them. Well, maybe they ain't banning the rosary beads so much as this weird-ass wearing them. You don't wear no rosary beads, man. Okay, so in any event, as we read further, did the principal go too far, asks WABC in New York. Jason Laguna is a former altar boy, and he's a, quote, proud Catholic, so WABC says. That's what they think. He got his rosary beads as a gift. He thinks they look cool and sometimes wears them under his shirt at school. But last Friday, right before dismissal, he pulled them out on his way out.
What'd he pull out?
He pulled out the rosary beads. He was given a one-day suspension from Fieldstone Secondary School. His mother calls the punishment extreme, considering the 14-year-old boy is a member of the student government, and according to his last report card, it's a pleasure to have in class. Laguna says he was told the school has an unwritten policy regarding beads because they could be used to show gang affiliation. Okay. The principal claims it was insubordination, says Laguna's actions endangered the safety, health, morals, or welfare of himself or others. I'm sure the teacher did not say that. It probably says so in the book, but WABC, because they're lazy, they decided that they would just go ahead and say the teacher said that. You lying, no good, I don't know. Anyway, Jason was supposed to stay home Friday, but late Thursday, the district superintendent put that on hold pending further investigation. It may not be divine intervention, but his mother has contacted the American Civil Liberties Union because she's a pain in the ass. Look, number one, you don't wear rosary beads. That's disrespectful. Number two, if the school has a policy against wearing beads, why were you wearing them? Number three, you demoralized not only the students and the faculty, but you demoralized me because I had to read that story. Now, here is Maddie Laguna. This is Jason's mother, the woman that's going to go to the ACLU. She doesn't believe he was suspended because the beads could be used to show gang affiliation. She thinks there's something more nefarious, something deeper, a conspiracy.
And my son is not in a gang, and they have no reason to believe that my son is in a gang. The school doesn't even have a gang problem, as far as I know. I don't know if this is going to now prevent him from, qualifying for any special admission policies into certain colleges or scholarship opportunities, and also the principle of it all.
All right, and also...
You blew it!
That's what I think. So, in any event, this kid's wearing... You don't wear rosary beads because that's against the... You'll burn in hell. So if you think your son's got a problem, lady, getting into a college, what do you think the St. Peter's going to say when he shows up there and he says, oh, so you're the kid that thought... you thought wearing them, man? Well, they look really cool. I don't give a crap they look cool. You're supposed to pray with them. Prayer beads.
Well, I didn't know a thing about...
See, what you did, you committed the sin of excessive pride and vanity. Yes, my boy.
What do you mean, St. Peter?
I mean, you thought you would show off your Catholicism by putting them beads on and hanging them outside your dirty shirt, so you could walk around like you're a badass with rosary beads. You probably look like some kind of a fruit. You probably look like some weird ass that lives in a dumpster. Now you're walking around with your rosary beads hanging out, if you'll pardon the expression. And the school says, well, we can't have that. That's against our... And who gives a damn whether the mother thinks he's a gang member or not? They said you don't wear the beads. You don't wear the beads. Nobody is saying, for instance, well, you know, if he's a good kid and if Robert De Niro come down, you know, and take a look at the kid and basically...
You blow it!
And then, you know, take it back. I'm sure he's fine. They didn't say that. They said you wear them beads and your ass is out. That's that. That's the way it goes. So I think your son is going to burn in hell. Now, we'll be back here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. A Vietnam veteran, or actually he's much older than a Vietnam veteran, was ordered to remove his flag from outside of his house. I'm not going to read these stories ad nauseum, folks, about flags, because I agree with you. I think the American flag should be flown, and it should be demonstrated. You know, we should be able to, you know, pull it out and fly it. But I don't, it's not going to do any good to keep haranguing this. It's not going to do any good to keep haranguing. If this country is so free, this country is... We have become such a country of rugged individualists, I don't think people are aware that they live in a country, you know? I mean, in other words, the Homeowners Association. Well, we can't have the... You know that this is America, right? What is that? That's the country we're in? The country that we're... Yeah, and that flag, that's the flag of my country. Well, You're not familiar, huh? No, I'm not. Well, you're so free and you're so just, light in your socks that you don't know that there's like a whole country surrounding this country club, do you? This gated community. Well, I've heard rumors. Yeah. Well, that's the flag of it. And I like to fly it because I actually was in the armed forces of that country. Well, now you're really losing me. Well, and I know that you've got a Homeowners Association rule book that says you can't have XYZ, but can you make maybe a special thing because it's the flag? See, I'm tired of talking like that. Of course it makes sense to you, and it makes sense to me, and it makes sense to most human beings that were born with their brains inside their skulls, see? But unfortunately, many of our homeowners associations and many of our pain-in-the-ass gated communities and many of our, you know, with the arm that drops down and don't back up or your tires will be punctured places, they just aren't grooving with that, you know? And in their opinion, the whole thing just sucks, and all they want is for you to wave, either just wave or wave the homeowners association flag or wave your ass goodbye if you don't do either one of those things. And there'll never be a time you convince them. So I think, you know, the next story that I want to hear about is the following. States, or maybe the federal government, they pass a law and they say, at no time will it ever be deemed inappropriate, against the law, or there will be no agency that can hold the flying of the American flag to be prohibited. The American flag will be flown. I can't believe that we're still having this conversation. Right after 9/11, some pack of bastards in South Florida, I don't know who you people are, a fire engine company wanted to put the flag on their fire engine, right? And this despicable group of people had a problem with it. I hope they're not even hearing me now. I hope they went out for a swim one morning and got eaten by a shark. In South Florida. That's after 9/11, right? So the rule has got to be the following. If a guy waves the American flag, not only can you not go near him, he can't be arrested for anything. It's sanctuary. So if he's a murderer, he gets to put the flag over his house, you can't go near him. I think that'll work.
You really think they'll do that?
No, they won't do that.
Can't do that, man. Well, then why'd you say that?
I don't know, wishful thinking. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you want to hear any more about this flag story, man, I don't think so. Poor Brett Michaels, this poor young man, a second stroke. We'll update you on the very, very sad news regarding Brett Michaels. And then Kevin Costner has a cleanup machine to be tested in the Gulf. Kevin Costner, they say, has invested millions of dollars. Yeah, sure. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Phil Henry Show at 877-876-PHIL and at philhenryshow.com. That's where you can watch as well as listen to our radio show every night. You can listen to our archives. You can download our show. You can look at our archived video from TV appearances past and TV pilots past. And let's see what else. And just a whole load of stuff. We have a news feed that you can participate in as a backstage pass member. In fact, you can go on that news feed and give me all kinds of crap. You can call me the worst things in the world. You're paying for it. By the way, we had a very interesting series of, oh, my God. We must have got 70 or 80 comments on our news feed the other night because I was going on and on about, bootlegged material. Every now and again, I just get crazy about this. Now, there's a lot of Phil Henry material. There's a lot of our show material that shows up on the internet everywhere you go. I mean, everywhere you go, there are torrent and file sharing sites that have my stuff, that has my stuff on these different sites, places I wouldn't even think to consider, you know. And one night, I'll never forget, I found this site and it had like a bunch of my stuff. And I just wrote the guy this real nasty note. I said, hey, I'm Phil Henry. And if you bitches, I don't know what I said. I think I threatened their lives. I think I threatened to come down there and burn their homes down with their kids in them. And the guy was like, oh, okay. And he just pulled it down. It wasn't any big thing. And then I felt bad later on. I don't know.
Did you really? Or you must have been a night that you had a tequila.
Yeah, what about that? Maybe it was one of those nights we were drinking tequila on our... If you've watched our sixth day video cast, our Saturday video cast, twice now we have given demonstrations of tequila drinking. And I wouldn't say that they were very good demonstrations. In fact, I thought they were a disgrace just looking at my behavior. Anyway, no, they were fine. So every now and again, I get crazy because, and people must think I'm kidding. I can tell you right now, as we speak, I am so serious about the fact that I don't mind people downloading our stuff and sharing it with friends. That's fine. It's when you do it over a public site and you are disseminating it on purpose to people you don't even know, that has been proven to be actionable. That has been proven in a court of law to be an actionable thing. You can be sued and you will lose. And that's what the record companies have been successful in essentially bringing to the courts, which is the following. We don't mind people sharing our music if it's friend to friend. But when it becomes something that they put out on a torrent feed, they put out on a public file sharing site for just anybody, even people they don't know, then it becomes a reckless and a purposeful effort to damage the business of that artist. That totally makes sense. For some reason, the internet, it doesn't equate with people. Normal human beings who would raise holy hell if I went to them and I said, now today you're going to be working for free for me. They'd raise holy hell. And yet those same people go onto the internet and steal and share the work of others. Why? Because they think they work, and they think if you're on the internet and you're a musician or you're a talk show host, you don't work. So their work is valuable. Ours isn't. Well, they can think anything they want, because I can tell you that I'm not the kind of guy that just sits there and takes that. I'm just not, you know. I haven't gotten to a point of success in my life just sitting there and letting people walk over me. It just doesn't happen. So as a result, we've got a copyright and trademark attorney working with us now. And I'm going to do I've got several options. First of all, what I am going to do is I'm going to shut down anybody who thinks they're going to share my stuff publicly. The second thing I'm going to do, if I can prove that it's being done for a commercial enhancement of that individual, I've got a lawsuit. And if that individual is making the mistake of, for instance, making money off of my stuff, their ass is, I don't even want to, you know, forget it, man. Throw the key away. Now, it's happened, so there's precedent, and I'm damn sure I will do it. I mean, I just, no way. It's, you know, life is too hard, man. We're in the middle of a recession. You know, everybody's breaking their ass. Everybody's trying to keep their heads above water, right? And some bitch is going to come along and steal from you or steal from me because they think it's funny. No, it isn't going to. Not only is it not going to happen, they're going to wind up paying me for the rest of their lives. They and their children's children.
That sounds pretty hardcore, though, and everything about it.
Oh, will you stop, hardcore? Costa Mesa, California has declared itself a rule of law city. What is that supposed to mean? The Costa Mesa City Council has voted unanimously to declare itself a rule of law community, further widening the divide over illegal immigration in the central Orange County city. This is down in Orange County, California. This week's resolution follows an April news conference in which Mayor Alan Mansour called for stricter regulations to catch illegal immigrants living, working, and driving in the city. Costa Mesa has sought for several years to reduce the number of illegal immigrants within its borders. Mansour said Tuesday's meeting that the resolution states that Costa Mesa is not a sanctuary city. Okay, that's fine. So whether they're going to go as far as the state of Arizona, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. The state of Arizona has inspired the people in Arizona, the lawmakers. This law has inspired a lot of communities far more than it has emboldened the opponents. Immigration, the people who are opposed to these immigration laws, the people that are, I guess, pro-immigrant or however you want to put it, you guys don't get it. You don't understand what's happening in this country. Even people up in Oregon, which is not what I call a bastion of conservative thinking, even Oregon's upset with illegal immigrants. You know, it's kind of like the immigration thing is to liberals what the BP thing is to conservatives. You know, suddenly you're not so conservative when it comes to oil just getting pumped into the Gulf, and suddenly you ain't so liberal when it comes to just anybody and their uncle and their cousins pouring over the border. All right, we'll continue our discussion here of the rule of law. Brett Michaels, this young man has gone through living hell. He gave an interview with Oprah Winfrey, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and it was broadcast this week. A mini stroke has been suffered by this guy now. He's had, a brain hemorrhage. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll make it uplifting. Don't worry about it. And then Kevin Costner's cleanup machine. What a scam. I'm kidding, Mr. Costner. I'm sure it works.
Phil Hendry.
Sort of.
You're listening to the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
As you know, no one reads newspapers anymore, and because no one reads newspapers anymore, newspapers are in the final days of their existence. Now, one of the things they're doing to continue their existence is to make up stories, just make stuff up. Now, I know it sounds like I'm anti-newspaper. I'm not, even though for many years, and I remember early on in my career when newspapers were doing more ad business than radio, they'd rather sip from a toilet at Yankee Stadium than do any kind of coverage of radio. They hated radio, and they continue to hate radio in the print business. Why is that? Why radio and not TV? Well, I'll tell you why. Radio personalities, as they became more popular and as they began to overshadow newspaper columnists, that was the final straw for newspaper columnists, because newspaper columnists were literate and educated, and they could write, and they were bon vivants, and they held forth at the local tavern, and Colorful, and Walter Winchell, and Damon Runyon, and all that bullcrap, right? And all of a sudden, Phil Hendry and G. Gordon Liddy and Rush Limbaugh and Mary Madeline and whoever the hell else, all of a sudden those people are the toast of the American media. They're the toast of the people who, the American people, who don't have a whole lot of time to fool around with media. You know, I'm reading the newspaper, this column, or I can listen to the guy's show as I'm driving to work. I think I'll listen to the guy's show as I'm driving to work. And so newspapers began to lose their advertising, and they began to lose, really, their place in the American informational landscape until we have what we have today, which is big papers going out of business, many to follow. And the New York Post, which I happen to like the New York Post. I mean, it's one of the more colorful newspapers, but nonetheless, making up stories, making up controversies. I have, on any given day, we will see stories crossing our desk here at El Pacifico that are, it's just blatant what they're doing. They're coming up with some horse dung so that you will think there's an actual controversy going on, when in point of fact, there's none at all. In fact, most people don't even know what the hell it is you're talking about. They want me to say, for instance, that Elena Kagan, the Supreme Court nominee, in a picture in a Wall Street Journal playing softball, they want me to believe there's a big national discussion now about whether or not she's a lesbian. Well, I know, and you know, there isn't a big national discussion. There might be a couple of talk show hosts that took the bait and they're talking about it. But had the New York Post not just invented the controversy, there wouldn't be one. So she's playing softball. You know, my daughter plays softball. She also goes out with guys. She just went to her prom. She is a feminine 18-year-old young woman. She's also damn good at basketball and softball and volleyball. And she likes boys. And she has her iPhone. And she's a chick, man, you know. So New York Post and Jennifer Firmino and all of the other people that work there, why don't you guys just hang it up, okay? It's great. I think the building would work as a car wash. Just, I don't know, go down the street, put a little soapbox up, start waving your arms wildly about, put on a derby hat and make people think about communism or something, socialism. I know, throw a bomb down on Wall Street. That'll get them. Then there's this. Check this out. This is from AOL News. Now, if ever I heard, boy, wait till you hear this.
That's the Kevin Costner.
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, that's...
Hold on. Let me do it, okay?
Hey, man. Yeah, but here, you gotta read this.
But I got the story, man. Sticking it up my nose is gonna get me to read it any faster.
This is funny.
The Waterworld references are already flowing, but actor Kevin Costner's commitment to the BP oil spill cleanup is more than just a celebrity photo op after investing. Now listen to this. Michelle Ruiz writing in AOL News. After investing 15 years and millions of his own money in new oil separation technology, Costner hopes to help clean the oil from the waters of the Gulf of Mexico at a faster and more successful rate than ever before. Are you? If you want me to believe that Costner has invested millions, you're going to have to, first of all, you're going to have to tell me exactly how much money does this guy have that over 15 years he's dumping, quote, millions. Where is your source on this? And if it's Kevin Costner, Ms. Ruiz, wow.
Why? Where do you see that?
Well, if she's getting this information from Costner, he may be lying through his teeth. Most likely he's lying through his teeth. Not that he's a bad guy. I'm not saying that. But it's just, it's a natural thing for, the, you know, somebody like this guy or most of us. If we have the media, the press's ear or the press's eye, wherever we got it, we want to, you know, build it up. So he's going to say to her, oh, yeah, millions, man. And I got this technology. And she's all just, yeah, uh-huh, because it's all groovy. She's talking to Kevin Costner. Moved by the catastrophe of the Exxon Valdez spill in 1989, the Oscar winner and ardent fisherman bought new centrifugal oil separators from the government in 1995, investing $24 million to develop the vacuum-like machines for the private sector. He didn't invest $24 million. If he invested $24 million, I invested $24 million. He didn't have $24 million to invest.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a movie star and everything.
Yeah, good habit. He don't have no $24 million. I ain't saying he doesn't have $24 million. He don't have $24 million laying around to invest in centrifugal oil separators. It sounds to me, to be honest with you, it's probably better that he didn't, because it sounds to me like whoever the guy was that was selling these for the government, man, he saw Costner coming a mile off. Oh, yeah, Mr. Costner, this is, really? And, oh, sure. Well, what's it called? It's called a centrifugal oil separator. Yeah, sure, that's it. A centrifugal oil separator. And see, what it does it separate oil? That's pretty, yeah, that's why I called it that. 15 years later, BP has approved six of the machines for testing in the Gulf, where they will extract the spilled oil, send it back to a tanker, and pump 99% purified water back into the ocean. Purified water? Well, hell, them salt fish, man, they can't live on that.
Yeah, they got it. Don't they put salt in it?
I'll sprinkle it in.
Well, they better go down and get a whole lot of sea salt, man, from Vons or Kroger's or something. Anyway, Costner's business partner in Ocean Therapy Solutions, Louisiana trial attorney John Hoogelthing, what the hell kind of name is that, said the machine could be in the water as early as Friday. Let me tell you something. If this guy had $24 million to throw at some oil separation machine, I bet you it was John Hoogelthing that did it.
Yeah, he's probably the guy that got the money.
Probably got to be a money guy.
Well, that's the money guy in my opinion. The technology works, Hoogelthing told Michelle Ruiz, who sat there with bated breath wondering when Mr. Costner was going to arrive. We know the technology works, and we know it's really the only solution. Ms. Ruiz then said, yeah, sure, that's great. Is Mr. Costner anywhere in the building? Yes, he is. BP confirmed that it planned to use Costner's machines in the cleanup effort, but later said, if he put $24 million into this junk, then I'm your Aunt Daisy. No, they didn't say that. But they did say that they are going to, they plan to use Costner's machines in the cleanup effort in exchange for tickets to his next premiere, with spokesman Mark Salt telling AOL News Today that, quote, we've agreed to test them. Basically, what that means is this. Costner's been a pain in the ass for the last God knows how long, bugging these guys. All right, Costner, we'll test them.
Yeah, you guys better do it now, because you know about that the oil.
Yeah, really? Yeah, I know about the oil.
Yeah, well, it's sitting out there in the ball in the game.
Okay, man, you're jumping up and down sweating on me.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Kevin Costner.
I heard all about the oil separation machine, man. You didn't invent this. I've heard about them. We've been buying them for years. So you picked up some on the fly. You got some on the cuff. The government laid them on you because you're Kevin Costner. What do you think you did with them?
Oh, you guys better get out there. There's a whole lot of oil floating around.
No, really? Is there a lot of oil floating around? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Costner tapped his scientist brother, Dan Costner, or I don't know what his last name is, his scientist brother, Dan, and Hugel Wang, to aid in the cleanup efforts after the massive spill on April the 20th, years after Costner first took a keen interest in separation technology. He didn't get investors, he did it all himself, Hugeling said of Costner's multi-million dollar investment. Oh, these are lies, lies, ooh. His single purpose was that if there was ever going to be another massive oil spill, this machine was going to be able to separate the oil from the water. Well, I'll tell you what, they're already scooping oil off the water. Now, I understand that this may be, it may be, and I underlined the may and the be, may be quicker and more efficient, but the fact is you either skim it off the off of the water or you set fire to it. You burn it off, right? What you skim off the water, you try to cycle back into some tanks, and then you, if you can, you burn off the rest. Now, where this technology may be of inestimable value is that much of this oil now, at least according to a news story I read last week, is underwater, meaning there is a massive cloud, a huge glob of oil leaking into the Gulf that has not yet made it to the surface, that it is it's literally heavy enough that it has not risen to the surface. It's sitting there underwater. Now, that is a very difficult thing to deal with. And, of course, as it's coming out of that busted pipe or that busted the busted well, you want to, as quickly as you possibly can, get it separated from the water and get it pumped into whatever tanks, whether it's on a ship or whatever, and use it that way and separate it out from the water. But that's if Costner's machine works. If he got his $24 million worth or whatever the hell it is that he spent for this thing. But if his brother screwed him, like he's been known to do, of course I'm kidding. I don't even...
Yeah, his brother's probably a thief.
You know about his brother?
No, I don't know his brother's a thief.
Yeah, well, I believe it. I mean, because if you got a brother that's really, really famous, right? And then your brother said, man, I got some money, I'm going to buy a damn machine. And you go, now's my chance to stick it to my brother up his giggy with a Wawa brush and bust it off and twist it. Would you not do that?
Would I do it?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do it. But are you saying Kevin Costner's brother might do it? Why? Because Kevin Costner's rich?
Yeah, I'd say my brother rich. I got a chance to make do. Make hay while the sun shines.
Make hay while the sun shines. That's the worst.
Okay, well, if that's what you would do, and you attribute that to Costner's brother, because Costner's got bread, so his brother's a scientist, man. What makes you think his brother is some sleazebag hanging around a racetrack or something?
I'm just saying, man, how much money are you going to make?
Oh, get off of it. Look, Kevin Costner may be a guy that, you know, a fool and his money are soon parted. That doesn't necessarily mean it runs in the family, okay? Give the cat a break, man. All right, coming up, Glenn Beck pretends to cry while telling a story about being called Satan. That's great. Our number 877-876-PHIL, and of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to close out with a story. Maybe we'll have two, but this Rand Paul, who's quite a popular guy, I guess, he's running for U.S. Senate. He's a Senate Republican nominee. I don't know what the hell his state is here. I'll figure it out. But and I know who he is, and I know that he's got a lot of supporters. Now, the only problem I've got with these guys, when I say these guys, it's Kentucky, thanks. When I say these guys, I mean the guys like this King and a guy like Rand Paul, who I have I don't think he's as stupid as that guy King, that dude from Omaha. But Rand Paul is typical of what's been going on lately. See, ever since the Democrats got elected and have embarked upon the confused course that they have embarked upon, and the confused course being the following: a president who has certain beliefs, and the Democratic members of Congress that don't necessarily agree with him, but they're going to go ahead and support him because he's our president. I've never seen, ever in my life, a group of congressional party members, congressional representatives who are the members of the party in power, that is, members of the president's party. I've never seen that group of individuals act as clueless as these guys. I mean, seriously, the example of it is, of course, the health care plan, which could have been sold much better than it was, could have been more coherent. It could have been presented to the American people in a way that was understandable. But the reason why it wasn't is because not one of those silly sons of bitches in Congress understood it. Not one of those cats like that Pelosi, like that blithering idiot, that Maxine Waters, like that poor man Harry Reid. Harry, the surge is not working, Reid. It's like you're talking to people, you know, that the health, yeah. I don't know anything about it, but if President Obama likes it, then it's our job to sell it. Well, you know what? You're the last people I'd ask to sell it because you don't know your ass from a hole in the ground about it. But what was the reaction of the Republicans? The reaction of the Republicans has been almost as stupid. They're putting guys like this Rand Paul. Now, I want to tell you something. I don't need anybody, including Rand Paul, explaining to me the rationale behind, for instance, civil rights. Here's a dumbass who takes the conservative philosophy, like some, not all, but some do, and he says, well, now, the conservative philosophy, you see, it means that the government doesn't even interfere with business. Well, okay, but what about racial discrimination? Well, you know, even racial discrimination. Even a business owner has the right to discriminate racially. And, well, listen to the comments this guy makes. Now, he thinks this is a very valid thing. Now, I know that he's tried to retract or otherwise, maybe not retract so much as he's tried to clarify. What do you mean clarify, man? What's to clarify? In America, and I've said this before and I'm going to say it again, in America, we swing between two political philosophies, and as well we should. We should be swinging between conservative and liberal, liberal and conservative. We should, because life is ever-changing. Life's challenges are ever-changing, and you don't always use one tool or the other. You change between the different tools in your toolbox. Sometimes when business just fails, and we've had example of that, over and over again in the history of this country. We've had example of business failing this country when George Bush wasn't even born. Neither was Barack Obama. So I guess we can't hang it on them. Now, can we? And we've had those business failings when Democrats have been president. And we've had them when Republicans have been president. We even had them when Whigs were president. Sometimes business ain't just all that hunky-dory, man. And government has to move in and has to assist or relieve. We've had so many of those downturns in business, so many of them, that finally in the 20th century, in the 1930s, government took unprecedented steps to make sure that when we had them again, they wouldn't be as serious. But you don't think the Depression was the first one we had in this country, do you? We had serious depressionary periods. They used to call them panics. And sometimes when government fails, business, the private sector, takes over. For instance, in the 1960s, when we had abundance, what happened? The government, because we had such abundance, overstepped its bounds and decided, well, we've got so much damn money, let's start peeing some of it away on the Great Society. The Great Society was a big fat mistake. Peace Corps, okay. Vista, not so bright. Sometimes you just have to say, all right, things are pretty good. Yes, I know we've got some people that are hungry, and I know not everybody knows how to read and write, but it ain't like we're living in 1935 either, okay? So let's back the hell off. So sometimes you need government, sometimes you don't. Now, here's a guy, a conservative, Rand Paul. And despite attempts to clarify his position, this Republican nominee from Kentucky, Rand Paul, has angered civil rights leaders and confused some supporters by getting involved in a debate about whether the government overreached in its attempts to bar discrimination in the 1960s. Will we have time to play these? Let's listen. This is Rand Paul on Rachel Maddow's show, and he says that he's against discrimination, but he also wants free speech.
But what about private businesses? I mean, I don't want to be badgering you on this, but I do want an answer. Do you think that a private business has a right to say we don't serve black people?
Yeah, I'm not in favor of any discrimination of any form. I would never belong to any club that excluded anybody for race. We still do have private clubs in America that can discriminate based on race. But I think what's important about this debate is not getting into any specific gotcha on this, but asking the question, what about freedom of speech? Should we limit speech from people we find abhorrent?
This is not a bright man. Look, they're going to elect you, Paul, because of your economic philosophy. The Tea Partiers like that. They like the economic conservatism. You and your views on social issues, you got about as much going on upstairs as Bud Dickman. So why don't you keep your big fat mouth shut about that stuff? Because I'm telling you, look what happened when you opened your yap about it. You don't know your ass from a hole in the ground. Stick with the Tea Party economic thing. Leave the social conservatism to, I don't know, man. I got it. How about Ron Paul instead of Rand Paul? That's who you are, right? Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow night. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.